So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Thank you, God, that every promise in the word is ours. Thank you for Danny shining the light on your new covenant that you made with us. The prophet prayed, God, that you would rend the heavens and step down into our atmosphere. And you did that through Jesus Christ. And you've never left. He might have left, but he sent the Holy Spirit to be in us, to walk in us, to be with us in all that we do and say. We give you thanks and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we read where we are heirs and that all of heaven's benefits are ours, not just some. All of the benefits of heaven belong to us. Scripture says we are guaranteed victory and that the whole of God's plan was set before the world began. We have great confidence that God is not surprised if what's happening in our life. We may be, but we are in the hand of God that is never surprised about anything. Come on, somebody. God's got this. He's got our lives. And we read where our trust before and after our salvation serves to mature in Christ, and we reap the promises God has made to his children. I want to read verses 15 through 18 that hopefully we'll cover today out of the Amplified Bible. So beginning in verse 15, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all God's people, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him, for we know the Father through the Son." Verse 18, "And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. So many promises in the book of Ephesians, and an anointed prayer that the apostle prays. And he says, after he found out of two things, two great things to be known for. Number one is the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in possessions or positions. Our faith is not in fame or in wealth. Our faith is not even in faith. Our faith is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He never leave or forsake. He'll never let us down. He'll never let us go. Faith is not an object given to us to exist outside of Christ. And faith is not a magic word to create things or titles for our pleasure. Faith is in a man. That man is Jesus Christ. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or hope for. So Paul is writing this letter to Ephesians, which went many other places, but he's writing, he said, I've heard of these two things. Number one, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard about your faith. And if we're ever going to win this world, the world's got to hear about our faith in Jesus, not in possessions or positions or riches. That has nothing to do with it. That's the afterflow. That's the afterglow of being with Jesus. He takes care of us. Come on, somebody. God just doesn't ever give just enough. He gives abundantly. Come on, somebody. But it's not all about that. He said, don't worry about those things. And certainly don't put a badge of honor on more possessions. How immature it must be for somebody to say, because I have three cars and two homes, I am favored by God. Come on, somebody. No, you're favored by God because God lives in you. You're favored by God because God speaks to you. You're favored by God because wisdom and understanding are yours. Amen. Possessions notwithstanding. Paul's prayer is jettisoned by these two things. Number one, faith in the Lord Jesus. Number two, love for all the saints. You know, faith in Christ, everything derives from Him and returns to Him. He can undertake any challenge and He overcomes any obstacle. Faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, love for all the saints. Say all the saints. Love for one another. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 13:35, He said this, "By this you will know that they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Who is one another?
Everyone.
Come on, somebody. It's everybody. Our love for one another, especially those of the faith. Just because they maybe sing differently or talk differently, if they love Jesus and are part of the family, we're to love them. Paul hears of this before he writes the letter. He said, because of this, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for one another, I pray. Powerful. See, those two things draws the attention of the Holy Spirit, and those two things ought to strengthen us to be able to pray for one another. And here's his prayer. Let me say something about the love for the saints. It's a litmus test for Christians. A litmus test is any single factor that establishes the true character of something or causes to be assigned to one category or another. The litmus test for being a Christian is love for one another. Just as Christ loves us, so we love one another. One mind and one accord. It doesn't mean we're in lockstep. It simply means that we love one another, have respect for one another, wait for one another, serve one another. Come on, somebody. So he begins to thank God. He says, "I make mention of you in my prayers." Thanking God for each other, praying for one another, that binds us together. Watch what he says, 17, verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Imagine God submitting to God. Jesus came in the form of man, but he was God in the flesh submitting to God. He set such an example. We're to submit one to another. Christ in the flesh is our blueprint. It was Christ that served the masses. It was Christ that disrobed and washed the disciples' feet. It was Christ that took the lower place when he had every right to walk in his kingship. He was personal. He was approachable. He was available. And so should we be. The more we mature in Christ, the more we know that we are called to be servants one another, one from another. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. You know, the glory of God cannot be manufactured. The glory of God has nothing to do with the goosebumps you get when you sing. That's goosebumps that you get when you sing. Come on, somebody. The glory of God is the presence of God descending upon us and rising within us, and things happen when God manifests. Healing happens, salvations happen. Come on, somebody. We've made it so much about feelings. He's the Father of glory. He's the progenitor. It means he's the first, he's the prototype of glory, and it comes directly from God. And then he prays this. He says, may give to you, number one, the spirit of wisdom, Sophia. You know, God's wisdom takes the guesswork out of life. We don't need to guess. We know. Paul says that prayer has been answered. The wisdom of God is ours, knowing what God knows. Back in the 90s, there was a big thing about the information superhighway. You know, it was a telecommunications infrastructure, a system used for widespread, rapid access to information. And man, we went from the 6 o'clock news at night till news anytime. Now it's become so much a part of our life, we don't call it the superhighway anymore. We just call it our device. Just pick it up and know what's happening around the world at any time. That's dangerous. How many know? That's dangerous because it's made everybody have an opinion. But this information that we have, this wisdom from God, my friend, is on time. He speaks to us. It's powerful and it's His plan. It's not our plan, it's His plan. And He doesn't really care about your opinion. May give to you the spirit of wisdom. My Bible has a capital S, Holy Spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of revelation, apocalypsis. It's coming to light. God revealing His will, His desire, His purpose, His plan. There is a difference in knowing info and how to handle that info as a believer. Just knowing can get us in trouble if we don't act on what we know. Revelation cuts through questions and allows us to walk out the solution or celebrate the change in our spirits because we've received from God. Paul's prayer is, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Knowledge in the Greek, gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, facts, figures, and general knowledge. It's what we learn. 2 + 2 = 4. We learn the structure of a sentence. We learn math. Come on, somebody. But this is not the knowledge that's being talked about here. The knowledge that's being the knowledge of Him is epignosis. E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis. God's knowledge. Answering mysteries that would otherwise remain hidden or ineffective. It's precise and correct knowledge, and it's available for you. You don't need to walk around with your finger in your nose wondering what God's plan is. God has a plan. And He shares it with us. Two examples from the scriptures. Jesus met the woman at the well and she said, where's your husband? And He said, you've had 5 husbands and the one you're with, you're not married to. I mean, you know, that's the wisdom of God. Peter, when Ananias came into the meeting, right in the middle of the revival meeting, and Peter said, who told you to lie against the Holy Spirit? How many know that was the wisdom of God? Actually, the last human words that man ever heard. The wisdom of God, the wisdom and understanding of God, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The eyes of the mind, in verse 18. The mind is the faculty of knowing, understanding, dionysia, deep thoughts and feelings of God. I get very stressed when I hear somebody that's walked with God for a long time and doesn't know their top from their bottom, their in from their out. Where have you been? What kind of relationship do you have with God anyway? God doesn't want you to be stymied. He wants you to know His will. Come on, somebody. This prayer that Paul is praying. Understanding deep thoughts and feelings of God. Being enlightened. Anything that is partially hidden or dark, we tend to speculate. Come on, somebody. You ever looked into a room when it's dark, you see all kinds of things. It's not there when the light comes on. Looks differently. God does not want us as Christians walking around like the rest of the world, not knowing our elbow from our knee. The people that we walk among, I don't want to take anything away from them because we love them, we pray for them. But they're dumber than a box of rocks. Come on, somebody. We were the same way. When Jesus came into my life, all of a sudden, the whole world began to make sense. How terrible it was and how great God's truth was. It became real to me. Come on, somebody. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Knowing the times, 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And we are absolutely, our society is begging for people that know who they are and what they can do. To know, yada, an intimate knowledge, to perceive, notice, discern, and discover. Know what? Number one. The hope of his calling. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Watch what the scripture says right here on your right. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, say all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. My friend, don't you ever think you're an accident. Don't let the devil lie to you. God has a purpose for your life. Because you're called, called the hope of your calling. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the upward call? God calling us to be like him, ascending to his nature. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. What's that mean? When we get anxious, we get worried, we get scared, we get fearful, God has nothing to do with any of that. God's not in any of that. He doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to be anxious. Come on, somebody. This prayer Paul is praying is being answered by Holy Spirit, proof positive in Scripture. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but rule means the boss. You know, I'm the boss in my home. My wife gives me permission to tell you that. She's not here. She's on her way back from Erie, Pennsylvania, but I'm the boss of the house. I get the last word in every argument. Yes, dear. The peace of God ruling in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You've been called into his kingdom and glory. And lastly, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The hope of his calling and lastly, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Wow. Anything I need, God takes care of. Anything that I need, God takes care of. Anything that I need, God takes care of. A couple things I know about that statement. I found out over the years, God does not wear a wristwatch. He is not on my time, I'm on his. But he supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. That transcends things and earthly promotions or recognitions. Inheritance has nothing whatsoever to do where we live or what we drive. Our inheritance is from the riches of his glory. We know what God is doing. We know the times and seasons. We know that it's time to be alive in God, amen? Amen. To hear what God is saying. Yeah. We're seated with Christ at His throne. Nothing is missing and nothing broken in my life. If it is, it's the enemy. Come on, somebody. One other thing, I'll get on a soap opera just for a minute and then I'll let you talk. But I get all bent out of shape when I hear about the enemy stealing stuff from Christians. It's utterly, as far as I find in the Word, I'll be glad to talk with you about it if you could find something where the enemy actually could steal. The enemy doesn't steal anything. I give it to him. We have had this wrong thinking in the church. It tastes almost like the gospel. Find me a scripture in the gospel that says the enemy steals. And if you say John 10:10, that's men stealing, not the enemy. The thief comes not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's false teachers and hirelings. Quiet in here. See, the enemy was disarmed at the cross. He can't take anything from me unless I give it to him. He has no weapons unless I give him one. And no teeth. He's under my feet. What say you? Come on, preach back to me. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today?
Maintain a strong faith in Jesus.
Everybody hear that? Maintain a strong faith in Christ. Thank you. What's that mean to maintain a strong faith?
Walk in the victory I've already given you.
Amen. Already given the victory. Yes.
Yeah, I already have everything, all that I need to live a victorious life because of him.
I'm just trusting him.
Trusting him, living victoriously. Come on, somebody. How does he demonstrate his love for us?
He heals us.
Heals us.
Peace.
Forgave us.
Peace that passes understanding.
Oh.
Forgiven us.
He forgave us.
Provides for us.
Come on, somebody. Peace. Forgiveness. Provision.
He talks to us.
Somebody else back here said,
puts up with us in his long suffering.
Yeah.
He puts up with us. He loves us. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, God loves you. We throw that term around. Sometimes it doesn't mean anything. You know, we've become so, I love you. I love you too.
Yeah.
But when God says he loves us.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many know he weighs his words before he speaks them?
Yeah.
He says, I love you.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on,
someone.
Amen.
God is all forgiving, you know. In sign language, when you and I forgive each other, the sign is across the bottom of the hand. But when God forgives you, he does it this way.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody give an example of God's love to you. We heard a couple this morning. Larry knows about the love of God today.
Amen.
Danny knows about the love of God.
When I first came to church here, there was a beautiful old gentleman and a younger lady that would tell me, now come Friday, you're going to have to make up your mind if you're going to come to church or not. And you got to make up your mind because everything's going to try to keep you from coming because you don't know him yet. And we want you to know that we love you.
Yes.
Well, he loved me back way before I ever did him. When I was a kid, my brother and I was both known for having very fast cars.
Uh-huh.
And one night, I was laying in bed and feeling sorry for myself because things had been going wrong. I thought, well, if I just go out and get my Challenger and run it up to about 140, and I aim it for the big enough tree, everything will be over. and I won't have to worry anymore. Almost instantly, and I swear it was an audible voice, said, if you take your life tonight, all hope dies with you.
Wow.
If you wake in the morning, hope rises with you.
Wow.
Amen.
I never, ever thought of taking my life again. And that led into, it was a couple of years before I actually, the Lord got a hold of me good, took that set the stage.
Praise.
Typical guy, stubborn, right?
Praise the Lord.
Good word.
Praise the Lord.
Good word.
Somebody else. How did God show his love for you? Yes.
Well, I know God doesn't want you to be lonely, and God will show you his love by bringing others into your life when you're feeling lonely. And if it's, then sometimes it may just be a pet. But
yeah.
God will do that.
That's right.
Yes.
He puts up fences and boundaries, just like we, our kids, don't play in the street. And it's because we love them when we do that.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to see them hurt. So he gives us boundaries.
Yep.
To keep us from getting hurt.
Boy.
Yeah.
Amen. I just very quickly, I was thinking about when I was a youth pastor, I got in an accident. I fell asleep at the wheel, left the road, and hit a foundation on a barn. And I had my cruise control on, so it was 55 miles an hour when I hit the. But I think it slowed down because story was, I was in the hospital. My wife and I were in the hospital. State police that came out to the accident came to the hospital thinking he was going to find a dead person because the circumstances, of course, the airbag went off and the steering wheel was bent in two and there were indentations in the dash from my knees and I didn't break my knees. He said, you should have never walked away from that. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the goodness of God, and he said, you know, when you ran across, there was a great big dirt pile that I ran across before I got to the barn, and it took the tailpipe system, the exhaust system, and bent it under and slowed me down so I wasn't going 55. The cruise was on, but that big dirt pile slowed me down enough. If I'd have been going faster, who knows what would happen. And I thanked God that some farmer years before put a dirt pile there, not knowing what it was there for. That dirt pile saved my life. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God loves us.
Yes, does.
How does God show us wisdom in our times right now? How does God show his wisdom?
All you have to do is ask him. He has the Holy Spirit that takes care of them.
Yes. Holy Spirit of wisdom, yes.
Through discernment, he'll let you see danger. That is not right, you know.
He puts people in our path to direct us and to help us get through it, such as.
How about this? You think it was wisdom to put Trump in the White House? God's wisdom?
Yes.
Yes.
What about the alternative, Hillary in the White House?
No.
How many know God showed his wisdom to this nation?
Amen.
Yes.
Might not have been the best pick, but it was the only pick other than, what's her name?
Yes.
Want somebody, the wisdom of God.
Yes.
Give another example of the wisdom of God in our society.
Getting rid of abortion.
Getting rid of abortion.
Yeah.
It's coming, folks.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Hallelujah.
Planned Parenthood is running scared. The abortionists are running scared. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
I believe that. Say, do you think we're in the last days?
Yes.
Why?
Because it lines up with Scripture.
What do you think?
It lines up with Scripture.
Lines up with Scripture. How does it line up with Scripture?
Because you have wars and rumors of wars. All the things that are going on. Everybody's acting crazy in the world. Persecutions rising. All kinds of different signs.
Someone else.
Well, to go along with that, the Scripture says about the good looking bad, the bad good, and
yeah.
And the way people are acting, And we know we're in a final war against Satan right now because of the way the spirits that are on people and the way they're acting. I mean, just crazy stuff. And the scripture said it would be that way.
Yeah, killing good, evil, and evil good. And,
right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Grace.
But he's raising up a new generation that doesn't look like we think it should.
Does what?
It doesn't look like we think, not we, church thinks it should. It looks different. But God's going to use that in raising a new generation.
Wow. You know, Jesus said you can discern the clouds and the weather. Come on, somebody. Whenever you're outside for a picnic and the clouds come and you hear, see lightning and stuff, you say, okay, it's time to go in.
Yeah.
Come on, it's time to gather. It's time to tell people about Jesus. The storm is coming.
And the information that's just so, you know, all the devices and drones and it's just so revealing.
God speaks to people, the prophetic people. He gives them words so that they can read us. And that's pretty powerful.
How long has the world been around? About 10,000 years? So the last days could be 100, 200 years, right? Not a whole lot compared to 10,000. We're in the last days. But I'm glad God's got it under control when he's coming.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot of people need him right now.
Yes. Amen. A lot of people don't know him.
Yeah. We need a move of God's Spirit in our society.
Yeah.
How many know God has a plan?
Yes.
He put superhuman beings on the earth to represent him. That's you and I.
Yep.
We're supernatural human beings. We know what we ought not to know. Without Christ, we wouldn't know. But now we know, so we do what we know. Come on, someone. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him is ours. It's not something we need to look for. It's like I said, not picking on songs, but holiness, righteousness, those things are ours. We move in holiness because of what God did for us.
Yeah.
It's an amazing journey through the book of Ephesians. We begin to see ourselves for who we are. The mirror of God's word begins to get clear. We've windexed it by looking into it and seeing very clearly who he's made us to be. Now with that comes a lot of jumping and shouting, but also after the jumping and shouting happens, responsibility happens. Now we're responsible to conduct ourselves like wise and revelatory people.
Yeah.
Not spending it all on ourselves. Spend so much time patting ourselves on the back, we've got, you know, broken arms. God wants us to reach out to the lost, amen? And that we're not stuck in neutral. We're not worrying about or wondering about what God's will is.
Yeah.
Every answer is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It's like I read a story this week about the Pope landed in New York City and was picked up by a limo driver, and they're driving down the interstate there, and the Pope says, can I drive? He says, I've never driven a limo before. You hear this one? And so he said, okay, I'll let you drive. So the guy got in the back, and the Pope's going down the highway, and he's going 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, 120 miles an hour. He's gone down the interstate. So sure enough, a policeman pulls him over, walks up and sees it's the Pope, gets all scared, gets back in his car, calls and he says, sir, I've pulled over someone pretty important. And the captain says, well, who is it? He says, the mayor? He says, no, I don't think it's a mayor. He says,
Well, who is it? Is it governor? He says, no, I don't think it's a governor. Well, is it the president? I don't know. He says, I don't know who he is, but he must be pretty important. He's got the Pope chauffeuring him. We can know God's will. We don't have to question the will of God. Next week, we'll cover verses 19 through 23, his power, his position, his dominion, and his body. So I challenge you to study ahead, and we'll carry on this discussion next week. Father, I thank you so much for your word that's precious, powerful. God, I thank you that you position us for greatness. God, you want us to be victorious and be overcomers. When you come for us, we're not going to be hiding, God. We're going to be declaring your word. God, we are ones that are boldly and confidently walking in your spirit. So, Father, continue to give us eyes to see and ears to hear the times and the seasons that we live in. Give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.